It's time for another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote business in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communication among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montevistachamber.org. That's montevistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com.
Coming up on this podcast are three unique interviews. The first is with the president of the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce, Linda Burnett. Following that is the August Chamber Business of the Month, the San Luis Valley Fair. And we wrap this podcast up by talking with the folks at the Colorado Potato Administrative Committee. Let's get to those interviews.
We've entered into an exciting working partnership with the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce to produce a monthly local podcast. It's going to be featuring local businesses, local events, and of course, what's going on with our Chamber of Commerce here. To start things out with this month's podcast, we're talking to Linda Burnett. Linda, you are our Chamber President.
Yes, I am, and good morning.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Where are you originally from, Linda?
I am originally from Monte Vista. I grew out in the country between Monte Vista and Del Norte. I am a Monte Vista High School graduate.
Wonderful. How did you become involved with our Chamber of Commerce here?
I became involved, I don't know exactly how many years ago. It's been more than 10 years. I worked for the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment at the Monte Vista Workforce Center. And we were always encouraged to reach out in our communities. And then I knew some people that encouraged me to join the chamber.
You got a lot of events coming up here?
These past couple months have been our slow months, but we're looking at, of course, you know, we know Stampede, but what the chamber is really involved will be the Halloween trick-or-treat for the kids, the last Friday of the month before Halloween, and then our holiday bazaar that will be the first part of December. We are going to start meeting with our agricultural business committee and start working on our 2020 conference that will be held the first week in February.
And you're involved with the Potato Festival too?
We are. We've helped out. We volunteered some manpowers in the past. But this year we're going to sponsor one of their events, so that's our way of helping them out this year.
That's in early September.
Yes, it is.
Chapman Park. And of course, we've got another Mountain Film Festival coming up,
yes,
too.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. That will be in September. We had our first Mountain Film Festival in January, and we were so successful that we wanted to try to have a second one now in September. We are currently just working on it, so we'll be advertising and selling tickets within the next few days.
Linda, tell me about the chamber itself. I mean, obviously, we're here to help local businesses. If someone isn't a chamber member yet, why should they be?
We've been building our Chamber of Commerce here in Monte Vista, and one of the things that we want to do is help Monte Vista grow, and by doing that, by marketing our businesses. Our dues, we feel like they're very comparable, very low to assist new members. We give them 6 months free membership, and then the next 6 months is $75. And that's one way that we feel like we can kind of encourage them to be members. The other thing that we like to do is we have different benefits. We have a nice conference room in the Chamber of Commerce Information Center that is available to them. We have our Business of the Month that we are featuring on our website, SL Voices. And then also this month, we had the city help us advertise the Business of the Month on the Sky High Marquee. We're always trying to think, how else can we tell people, this is a business here in Monte Vista, please stop by and see what they have to offer. We're just trying to promote Monte Vista in any and every way that we can.
Well, it's really kind of a brain trust thing. It's not just becoming a member. You become a member of a group of people
right.
who are business owners, where you can come in and you can share ideas, share concepts. You can learn things from other people and take that back to your business to help it grow as well.
Absolutely. I think by being on the chamber member or even on the board like I have been these past years, I have learned so much what's going on in Monte Vista. Otherwise, I wouldn't know, you know, and it's interesting and it's kind of fun to people will ask, well, what's happening or what's going on here and there? And I have that information. I can say, yes, I know this. And they kind of look at me and say, really? How did you know that? Communication is so important, I think, amongst any community. And one of the other things that we do is that we are trying to get different kinds of education, information, seminars here in Monte Vista. Just this week, we had an Alzheimer dementia workshop that was well attended. And so we're trying to get the health industry to do different seminars. We are also are looking at different programs such as what does it take to be a board member, whether it's an organization within the city, the county, the school, or nonprofit? What does it involve? Other things is too is like we would like to be able to provide different kinds of programs for customer service. We think that's so important, or resume prep and interviewing skills. So we're looking at all kinds of aspects of available educational programs to invite our community and people outside our community. If it's there, I think people will come in and it's a win-win for everyone.
Well, you're working closely with Tom Monaco, too, who heads up the Small Business Development Center for the entire San Luis Valley.
Absolutely. And he has been an asset to the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce. He's always willing to help us and support us in any way that we can.
Linda, anything else you'd like to mention?
You know, one of the things that I don't think people realize with the Chamber of Commerce is, you know, we go out for sponsorships for our different events. That is how we operate our Chamber of Commerce. That's our only funding, if you think about it, other than our memberships. But as we go out and ask for donations and sponsorships and things like that, it is our philosophy that in order to receive, we have to give. And that is in any type of services. For the past 2 years, the Monte Vista Board of Directors during the summer go out and clean part of the highway between Del Norte and Monte Vista. And it's a lot of fun. We've been doing it on a Saturday morning, one Saturday, June, July, August, and September, and sometimes October. And we get the highway cleaned up. The other thing that we do is that we volunteer at the Valley Theater. We go and we help with the concessions and the tickets, and we also get to watch the movie. But, you know, it's just another way how we can give to our community and not only just receive.
Certainly appreciate your time, Linda. Thank you for taking time to talk to us about what's going on here. It's exciting. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is growing, it's moving, it's shaking, and it's something you need to be a part of. So if you're a local business and you haven't joined yet, call Linda or call Jerry. Just call over here. Talk to somebody. They're going to tell you everything that's going on. Thank you.
Thank you.
The San Luis Valley Fair is run by a dedicated group of volunteers who are elected to the fair board on rotating terms from across 6 different counties: Alamosa, Conejos, Costilla, Mineral, Rio Grande, and Sawatch. This year's fair is happening August 5th through the 12th. The San Luis Valley Fair is also the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce's Business of the Month for August. Let's find out about the fair, the events planned, and more.
I'm Adam, and as a part of our unique partnership with the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce, We're producing podcasts with local chamber member businesses and organizations. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce featured business for the month of August is the San Luis Valley Fair Board. And here to tell us more about the fair, the board, and everything that's going on is Heather Tillman. Heather, you're the Swine Superintendent and the Sand Dunes Drifters 4-H Club Leader?
Yes, sir. Yes, I have been in those positions for the last 14 years. And prior to that, I showed from age 8 to 18, which is the 4-H ages, and participated in indoor and livestock projects all those years.
Wonderful. We appreciate you joining us. Also here is Mark Brown. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
You are the overall livestock superintendent, and I'm told also the resident historian.
Well, I guess that's true.
Awesome. We appreciate you joining us as well. Heather, where are you originally from?
So I was born and raised in the Mosca area. Actually, Mark Brown is my father, and we have a 115-year farm that has been in production for a very long time.
What is it that you produce?
We're small grains and livestock.
Heather, how did you get involved with the San Luis Valley Fair?
Actually, I would give it all to this gentleman sitting beside me. He's been very passionate about the fair, having been a 4-H'er himself, and as well as my grandmother, Sabri Brown, was in 4-H way back in the mid-40s. And so it's kind of just in our blood. It's one of those things that we really want to show the different lifestyles that you can have, the different attributes that you can obtain. And I wouldn't be the person that I am today without 4-H and all the families and whatnot that we've encountered over the years.
That is great to hear. All right, Mark, how did you get involved?
Well, I've been involved since probably 1960. One of my older brothers actually started out in 4-H when he was 9. We followed around and along and helped him. Then in about 1964, I started showing livestock and have been involved a lot since then, I guess.
What do you wish you had known when you started out?
Boy, that's a hard one. I guess when I started out, I wished I'd have known what 4-H can do for a young kid or for families as far as that goes, because we all do things together as families. Actually, the first time I ever got to leave the valley was through a 4-H trip. And so 4-H has been a real important thing to me ever since I got started, and still is.
Heather, what about you? What do you wish you had known when you started out?
The thing that I wish that I maybe would have taken more a part of is, like, my dad went to Washington, D.C. That's a trip that he's talking about, and that still is a very prevalent leadership camp that is still available for all the youth in the United States. I did more of the showing part of it and was a little involved in the leadership areas. I was more involved in the leadership areas in FFA and not always 4-H. So those are some of the areas that I would have been more apt to or wish that I would have gotten more involved in, just because it does take you out of the valley and lets you see the different ways of life, ways of farming and agriculture in different parts of the United States.
Let's talk about the history of the San Luis Valley Fair a little bit in the board. When did this all start?
I guess the earliest history I have is that my mother showed in the 1940s or participated in 4-H. My brother started showing in the early 60s. And actually, the first shows I remember, he showed at the Alamosa County Fair at the park in Alamosa, actually. Then, like in the early 60s, the three counties went together, Alamosa, Rio Grande, and Swatch County. And the first fair was over here at the original grounds back in the early 60s. They held the fair in an old horse barn. It was big old barn. We actually showed our livestock in there. There were stalls that they used to stall horses in. So that's where all the livestock was. That's kind of where I got started, was back there in that building. And then it has evolved into several buildings over the years. In my later years of showing animals, we actually housed our animals in the Sky High Park building. We put up fences in there. They put dirt, brought dirt in, scattered straw. And so we had our livestock and went into that. All of the other projects were in the pool end of everything else. Then it evolved to where we started showing out in the arena and housed the cattle and stuff in horse barns that were built after the old barn. And then the McMillan building came after I had become a leader. Now, it's evolved to what it is now.
Well, what I was reading, the fair itself is somewhere around 117 years old.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Of course, it hasn't always been in Monte Vista then either.
No, it hasn't. I think a lot of individual counties had their own fairs. I know there's a fairgrounds down at Mesita that was the Castilla County Fairgrounds. And so each county did their own thing, like say, until in the 60s. Then it was became Tri-County. Then Castilla and Canales came in, Mineral County. And so now it's the San Luis Valley Fair and pretty much takes in all of the valley.
Well, let's talk about some of the events planned for this year's San Luis Valley Fair. It's right around the corner, and feel free to elaborate on any of these. There's an awful lot going on, like livestock exhibits. You've got a junior livestock sale.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we do. We actually kick off the weekend on Saturday the 3rd, and we have our truck and tractor pull starting at 4 o'clock. And it's a very fun family event to come to. There's a lot of locals that have been entering into it, so it just ends up being a very good evening. We also will be getting started. You'll see a lot of activity in the McMillan building. We'll be setting up all the pens and such outside for the livestock. And also in the indoor building, we'll be setting up for all the indoor projects. Then on Sunday, we will have our dog show starting at 9 o'clock, and that is in the indoor building, in the Sky High building. We also will be taking open entries, and this is available to anybody in the San Luis Valley. Any projects that you have made, sewing, your flowers in your yard, you can do a table setting, quilts, any sewing, a lot of different activities, different things that you guys have. You can go on the San Luis Valley Fair website and get more of description, each item that you may have that you could enter. It is a $5 unlimited entry, so we will be taking those entries on Sunday as well as on Monday. Monday, there's going to be a lot of activity going on. We'll be bringing in all of our breeding livestock, and that is also the beginning of our horse show. So the horse show will last 2 days. The breeding shows get everything kind of started, and then on Tuesday, we'll be bringing in all the market livestock. There'll be breeding shows on Monday evening as well, and then all the market livestock comes in Tuesday. We'll have the showmanship for market hogs on Tuesday evening, as well as the poultry show will be that day. On Wednesday, it opens up with cake decorating contest. That's an open contest, so anybody is welcome to come and participate. That starts at 9:30 in the morning. The horse show is still going on. That's our super fun day. That's the kids' gymkhana. So it's our speed events. We also have our small animals, which are the rabbit show. We have our goat show at 2 o'clock, followed by our showmanship. And then we'll round out the evening with our market swine show at 5:30 on Wednesday evening. There's a little bit of everything to see throughout the entire week. There's no charge to come to the fair. On Thursday, we'll start out the morning with a pancake breakfast brought to you by the Sand Dunes Drifters 4-H Club, starting at 7:30 in the morning, unlimited pancakes. We are charging just a little bit, but that's something that we've been doing for the last like 14 years since we've been there. So it's super fun. We get everybody fed before the market beef show, which starts at 9 o'clock.
It's a good idea. You never go shopping hungry. I like that.
I know. Yeah, you do.
That is great.
That evening, we have our blue and gold showmanship is what we call it. And it is sponsored by the Sargent FFA chapter. And it is also going to be open to all ages of 4-H. It's not going to be just strictly FFA kids. And I think that that's a very great opportunity for the little ones to get the opportunity to show the different animals. So it ends up kind of being a round robin. They show steers, pigs, goats, and sheep. So that is going to be a very fun thing that you guys could come watch and see a lot of individuals participate in that on Thursday evening. And then Friday morning, throughout the entire week, when we do our showmanship classes for our market classes, we have all the individuals that have won Grand and Reserve in those species, plus our horses and our dairy goats. We will have our round robin on Friday morning starting at 9 o'clock, and all those individuals will have to show all 5 species. And it ends up being a very prestigious event. I think that those kids, they really get to show off how hard they've been working the entire summer. And as far as like the bigger livestock, with the steers, they get them in early December, January, and so they have had those animals a lot longer than the 4 months that we have the smaller animals, but it is a very prestigious thing. I personally, that is how I was able to win quite a few of the belt buckles that I have, is because of round robin and showmanship in general. And then we will close out the evening with dinner starting before the Junior Livestock Show or the sale at 6 o'clock. It'll be in the inside Sky High Building. There's tickets that you can buy at the door, or you can get a hold of any of us throughout the week and we can sell you tickets throughout the week for any of the Fair Board members. And we'll start the sale, the Junior Livestock Sale, at 6 p.m. that evening.
Wow, there's a lot going on.
There is.
That is awesome. There's a couple things I had listed I didn't hear you mention. You have indoor exhibitors too?
We do have indoor exhibits. Yes, we have cake decorating. There's sewing, quilting, pictures. There's rocketry. We actually, in the last couple of years, have come up with a robotics area that we're doing. There's woodworking, leather. There's also welding, photography. They can do baking as well as not just cake decorating. There's canning, different things like that. And it kind of all relates back to how 4-H got started and the fairs got started way back kind of when my grandma was doing it. It was a time that each county kind of got together and showed what they've been doing, and they talked about the different advances that they had been having in agriculture. So everybody just brought their projects, sewing, canning, different things like that, and exhibited them there.
You got mud volleyball, barnyard Olympics, and goat roping?
Yes, we do. So with the mud volleyball, what we do is any kids that want to participate in that, they just show up. You can check out on our website and it'll have it on there. It's just a fun time that everybody gets a little muddy and dirty and we get to play some volleyball and kind of let the kids loose a little bit.
And what is Barnyard Olympics?
Barb Davis is the one that kind of runs all that end of it. And there's a lot of different activities that she's had. They've done wheelbarrow races, buck and bales, pedal tractor race. Yep, we do have a pedal tractor race on Wednesday, I believe, is what day that is. But like I said, you can find everything on our website on the calendar.
And there's even a fashion show?
Yes. So that is specifically for our indoor projects that have done their sewing projects and their different decorate your duds. And that's where you take new clothing and you decorate it up. And that's where their fashion show is. So that would be on Tuesday night at 7:30 is the fashion show, and all that happens in the indoor building.
You've used a phrase a couple times, round robin. For someone who might not understand what that is, could you explain it a little further?
Yes, sir. What the round robin is any of the kids that showed in showmanship in beef, swine, sheep, and goats, horses, and dairy goats. Each of those exhibitors that won Grand Reserve participate, and we have a show where you have to show each of those projects or those species in that show. So you are judged on how well you maintain that animal, how well you present that animal, and as well as how well you are able to answer questions and present yourself.
So what is the San Luis Valley Fair Board's primary mission and focus?
So our mission would be, it's an educational activity created to evaluate each participant's progress and accomplishments through interviews, judging, showmanships, preparation of educational displays and demonstrations. So pretty much, we just want all the kids to go out there and find a niche that they like, maybe introduce some new things to them to where they find something that they enjoy that may take them down a different path that they may have chose and be proficient in it.
So the San Luis Valley Fair is really tied in directly with the San Luis Valley 4-H group.
Yes, sir, it is. There are many different, we don't call them chapters, we just call them 4-H clubs throughout the San Luis Valley. My area, and I have a lot of other kids that come from Rio Grande, Sawatch counties that are in my main Alamosa County club. But my area is over in the Mosca area, and it actually is the same club that my dad was the leader of when I was in 4-H. So it kind of goes way back.
How neat is that to have your daughter doing that too?
4-H to us is, that's where we take our vacation in the summertime. We come out here and spend a week, and we do it all for the kids. These kids are our future, and the kids that are involved in 4-H, they learn public speaking, and there's a project for just about any interest that a kid might have. So all they need to do is go to the extension service out here and take a look after fair, get lined up for next year. It's a thing to build the kids for the future.
That is awesome. How do you see all of this benefiting the town of Monte Vista and, of course, the San Luis Valley as a whole?
So there's a lot of different ways. Like my dad was just saying, that this is the future. These kids are the future. These are your next business owners. These are your next workers anyway around the entire valley. Some of them may choose to leave for a while, but I would say almost 80% of them end up back here either helping run farms, ranches, or just being bankers, any place that they see fit, that they find their niche and want to work. There's a lot of kids that are coming back and finding their place in the valley.
Are there any particular sponsors that you all wanted to mention? You've got some great companies and businesses behind what you're doing here.
Each county commissioners, all of the county commissioners, we get our main donations to start the year from them. And they're actually the ones who appoint the board members that are on the San Luis Valley Fair. And so they're kind of the ones that kind of get this thing started. And then the other sponsors jump in and make it all possible.
Great big shout out to all our county commissioners.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. We wouldn't be able to do this without them, and we really appreciate all the time and commitment and the financial support that they've given over the years. Our gold sponsors are Colorado Potato Administration Committee, Monta Vista Co-op, Consol Farms. Our silver is Wilbur Ellis, SLV, REC, and Cielo, Valley Meat. Bronze sponsors, Big R Stores, Community Banks of Colorado, Del Norte Bank, Dick and Jean Ramsetter, Eric Ellithorpe, Myers Brothers, Rio Grande Savings Loan, SLV Federal Bank, as well as many that are in-kind sponsors. They're Buckle sponsors, Friends of the 4-H sponsors. There's a lot of sponsors that go into being able to have this fair and the different ways that people donate their time. I'm not a fair board member, but all these fair board members and the other superintendents and all of our helpers, we're all just volunteers. We're all here for the kids and to make sure that it's a positive environment, that all of our SLV 4-H youth and local FFA chapters have a place to present projects.
And of course, a lot of this information, as you said, is available at sanluisvalleyfair.com on your website. And if someone wanted other or more information, should they go there or where could they go to find out more?
So they could go there, but you can see somebody and talk to them and ask more questions. As you can go over here by the Monta Vista Co-op to the Colorado State Extension Service. And go in there and talk to any of them in there, Marvin, Maxine, Mary Ellen, any of those three, and they'll be able to direct you and kind of give a list of different projects that are available. Pretty much, if you have an idea of a project, there's a project.
Anything else that y'all would like to discuss or bring up on this?
Just come out. There's entertainment, free entertainment for all ages. There's a lot of different opportunities in the inside building to get involved. Anybody, if you guys have questions, there's a lot of friendly faces to ask. We're all just there having a great time with our families and with all the friends that we've had over the years. It's a great family fair.
Well, Heather, Mark, I want to certainly thank you for your time and letting us know what's going on, what's behind the San Luis Valley Fair, what's behind the board, and hope you have a great turnout again this year. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Colorado Potato Administrative Committee, or CPAC for short, has a long history in the San Luis Valley. To find out just what they do to help our local potato farmers, we went over to ask them some questions and learned more than expected.
I'm Adam, and we are over at the Colorado Potato Administrative Committee. Have you ever wondered what they are? Well, we certainly have, so we came over here to find out and get all of the information. We're meeting with James Ehrlich, he is the Executive Director, Linda Wires, Assistant Director, and Jessica Crowther, Marketing Administrative Assistant. So, Jim, let's start with you. You're the top dog here. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Brighton, Colorado, originally. I moved here about 23 years ago. I had got a job with Coors Brewing Company. I had been farming and had the opportunity to move here and worked there for about 10 years, and then the potato growers that I worked with at Coors asked me to apply for this job, and after they interviewed me, they hired me.
And you've been doing that ever since?
Yes.
The Colorado Potato Administrative Committee is also known as CPAC. Jim, what do you do here?
After that, you know why we call it CPAC, because it's hard to say Colorado Potato Administrative Committee. That's why. What we actually do here is we are a state and federal marketing order for the potato growers here in the valley. So marketing order was established, I think, in about 1941. The growers basically put that in place themselves. They've maintained it over the years. Our primary goal is to keep the industry unified and sustainable and profitable. We kind of do that through three different areas, and one is research, promotion, and then education are the three things we focus on.
Jim, what do you wish you had known when you started out?
Well, I feel like I wish I had known that when you start a project here, it's going to take you years to finish it. Because a lot of the work we do is related to government legislative issues. An example would be trying to ship potatoes into Mexico. I think that they were working on that prior to the marketing order being established, and we're still working on it.
So, Linda, you're the assistant director. Where are you originally from?
I am originally from Monta Vista, born and raised here, and after high school, did some vocational. We used to have a vocational school in Monta Vista and took some classes there and was going into the medical field. And that didn't work out. And so here I am in the potato industry.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're the assistant director. What does that mean?
I try to help Jim whenever I can. He travels an awful lot. He does so much of the governmental regulation stuff. So I try to do anything I can to help that. And then just run the office, keep things going smoothly at home.
Ah, you're the oil that keeps everything going in the background. What do you wish you had known when you started out?
That's a good question. You know, I had worked in the banking industry and the medical industry, and of course knew about the potatoes in Monta Vista, you just know. But I didn't know all the detail and really the big picture. I didn't know the big picture of the industry.
Great. And Jessica Crowther, you are the Marketing Administrative Assistant. Where are you originally from, Jessica?
I am originally from Monta Vista, born and raised. I went to Sargent High School, graduated in 2014. My dad was a potato grower. He actually sat on the CPAC board, so kind of just getting back to my roots, working here at CPAC.
That is great. What do you wish you had known when you started out?
I think one thing I wish I would have known is that as much as you think you know the potato industry from being in the Valley, you don't know it. I got some rude awakenings, I guess, when I got here. There's a lot more that goes into it that I had no idea of, and my dad was a grower, so there's a lot that goes on.
Can you give me an example of that?
I guess I didn't realize, like, one thing that was really surprising to me is, like, how long it takes for a potato variety to start and to the finished product of being in the field. It takes about 14 years of development, and so that was completely surprising to me, using your whole lifetime researching this one variety, so just little things like that I wish I would have known, I guess, or paid attention to when I was younger.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, how long has CPAC been around?
Well, I think the marketing order was established in 1941. So I think the form of it's probably changed a little bit over time. But it's both a state and federal marketing order. We have a committee of 26. So we have 13 members and 13 alternates. It's really an awesome thing to have that much input into what we do here.
And what is your primary mission and focus?
Like Jim said earlier, you know, we are here to help the growers to be profitable. We have an assessment that we assess every hundredweight of potatoes that leaves this valley. So with that money, then we are charged to help research, marketing, education, all of those types of things. So I think that is our main focus.
All right. How do you see this benefiting the town of Monta Vista and the San Luis Valley as a whole?
Well, the industry as a whole employs a huge amount of people. And then if you look at the value of the industry, it's approximately $200 million every year. It's a big economic driver for our valley. I think probably the only industries that employ more people are the hospital and maybe the college. And I would say the potato industry would be the third largest employer.
So it's huge.
Yeah, it is huge.
That is great. When it comes to potatoes, what is the San Luis Valley secret?
I think what we pride ourselves on as our secret is we have 350 days of sunshine here. And then we also have mild temps, and the potatoes really like that. Like, it's a good growing environment for them. I also think we have really good quality, personally.
I think we have some of the best quality in the country. And then with being surrounded by these majestic mountains, you know, we've got really good isolation. We don't have a lot of the diseases other parts of the country have. We don't have late blight. We don't, and it's hard to believe, but we don't have the Colorado potato beetle, which is the primary insect for most growing regions in the country. So we're pretty fortunate. When you look at the rest of the country, we're actually the low-cost producers, which is a huge benefit for our growers. It's a really good environment to grow potatoes. At one point in time, I would have said water was one of our best advantages, but now we're kind of struggling with trying to get that in balance. So I can't really say that anymore. We still have abundant water, but we've got to make sure that we keep it sustainable.
That's interesting. You mentioned the mountains here. How does it protect from things like the Colorado beetle?
Well, the altitude, for one thing. You know, we're at 7,600 feet. And we get cold winters. So that really makes a difference on how insects overwinter and can survive here. And the altitude and the mountains around here change the actual insects that live here. If you go on the eastern plains, they have much different insect populations than we have. I was a farmer for 14 years, and then my background is in agronomy. So when I went to work for Coors, I was shocked walking barley fields how few insects that are really out there causing problems.
Yeah, Jim, you mentioned water, which is obviously a hot topic here.
Yeah, it is a hot topic. It can be controversial, but best thing about it is, as a valley, we're tackling the problem head on, trying to get the aquifer in a sustainable position. And not everyone is going to always agree with the decisions that have to be made. But the reality of it is we have to use less water until we actually get the aquifer in balance. It means we may have to farm less. And this year, our potato acres are actually down, I think, around 4,000 acres. And it will have an impact on our industry, but it's a step that's necessary. And I think the rest of the valley's taking the same approach. The other sub-districts are being developed, and it's really important that we get this done. I'm not sure I believe in climate change, but I do know it's hotter and warmer here than it used to be when I moved here 23 years ago. So for whatever reason that is, we need to fix that. We need to do what we can as contributors to the problem. I think the ag industry's really worked hard to do a good job with that.
Your website is a wealth of information. Would you touch on some of the things that are available there?
We do have quite a bit of information on our website. I think one of the key, I guess, components we have for consumers would be we have a lot of health and nutrition information. I think potatoes sometimes get a bad rap because when you think potatoes, you think potato chips, french fries. Potatoes are actually really healthy for you. And so if consumers would take the time to look at our health and recipe pages, they'll see like healthy ways to cook potatoes and then to get like the best benefits out of them. Medium-sized potato, which is about 5.2 ounces is what they say, only has 110 calories. And so that's actually really good for you. It has complex carbohydrates, so that's really good for sustained energy. And that's one of the biggest campaigns that we're doing right now is it's what are you eating? It's through the Potatoes USA board and talking about how athletes are using potatoes to power their performance.
And you've got several different varieties here that come out of the valley too.
I think we have roughly 70 varieties. Not all are commercial based though.
I would guess that's probably about how many are grown. I think I've read somewhere there's over 600 potato varieties in the world. I think there's probably 110 in the clone bank at CSU.
Wow. No idea there are that many varieties. Coming up on September 7th is a really neat festival. It's the 2019 San Luis Valley Potato Festival at Chapman Park in Monte Vista. When did this get started?
Somewhere between 10 and 12 years ago, maybe a little longer. We used to help the Monte Vista Chamber put the Potato Festival on themselves for several years, and we were participants. And then as it began to grow, and we had new leadership in Jim, we decided, hey, let's take this over and see if we can't make this a big deal and make people understand that the valley's here and that we are the potato people, and let's celebrate harvest and share with the community what we have.
I was going to ask, what is the focus of the Potato Festival? I mean, obviously it's about potatoes, but there's even more going on.
You know, every year we grow it, and it started out in the small park here in downtown Monte Vista, and we outgrew that. We've gone to the bigger park. We have cooking demonstrations. We have tours that will take you into the potato growing area so you can see harvest and go to the San Luis Valley Research Center so they can understand that portion of the industry. We make sure everybody has a potato. We have free baked potatoes at the park. We have games for the kids. We have a dunk tank. If anybody wants to be in the dunk tank, we will certainly get you in there.
It's a mashed potato dunk tank.
Is it mashed potato dunk tank?
Filled with mashed potatoes. It's not fun.
Oh, my.
For the donkey.
We're looking for volunteers, too.
Anybody wants to volunteer, reach out to you guys. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can email us at info@coloradopotato.org or call our office at 852-3322.
What else is planned for the Potato Festival?
So this year will be our second annual Tater Trot 5K race. The 5K race is to benefit local pediatric diabetes patients. This year, we're teaming up with San Luis Valley Health and Rio Grande Hospital and the City of Monte Vista and Farm Fresh Direct to bring that to the Valley. It's $25 per participant, And the $25 goes into the Pediatric Diabetes Fund that's at San Luis Valley Health. And that's open to any patient in the valley and their family to get a gift card to help with travel costs. There's actually not a doctor in the valley that specializes in pediatric diabetes. So once they're diagnosed, they're sent out of the valley to be seen by a specialist. So to help with costs like that, we've decided to partner up with these entities to bring that. So we're excited to offer that 5K again. That'll start at 8 a.m. And they can register by going onto our website, coloradopotato.org/potato festival. They'll find all the information there. This year, we're also going to bring the fairy gut mother. Her name is Carly Smith. She is a chef and she focuses on gut health. Her story is kind of interesting. She was actually diagnosed with Lyme's disease, so that's how she kind of turned her focus to gut health. And she has done quite some research on how potatoes are really good for the enzymes in your body and like in your belly to help with your gut health. And so we're excited to have her as our professional chef demonstration, and we're excited to see what she cooks up and the conversation that we will have there. This will be the second year that we have Octane Addictions closing out our festival. So we'll finish the festival off at 6 p.m. at Sky High Park with Octane Addictions. They're a motorsport aerial freestyle show. So they have motorcycles, and this year they're going to have a Razor or a UTV, and they do jumps off of a ramp. So we're really excited about it, and we're glad that we could bring it back for the community. It seemed to be a hit last year.
It's awesome to watch them. We had a really large crowd last year, and we anticipate an even bigger crowd this year because they're going to backflip a Razor, and they're bringing in, I think, at least 5 X Games riders, so they're top-notch. It's a lot of fun. People should come out. It's a good way to finish off the day.
And tickets are on sale at our website, so they can go to the coloradopotato.org/potato festival or visit our Facebook page. It's San Luis Valley Potato Festival, and they'll get a list of all the fun stuff we have lined up for the day.
We started this with the idea that a lot of people don't know that potatoes are grown here in the San Luis Valley in the rest of the state. And we really wanted to bring focus on what we do here and the importance of agriculture to our community. Jessica and Linda have done an awesome job with the Potato Festival. They are really the heart and soul of the planning that goes on and organizing it. People should come and enjoy the day and have fun.
I absolutely agree. We were down there last year, and it was just a whole lot of fun. So certainly encourage people to come over. It's at Chapman Park, September 7th.
8 a.m. to 4 p.m. we're out at Chapman Park, and then we finish the day 6 p.m. at Sky High.
Is there anything else anybody would like to bring up?
No, I'd just like to say thank you very much for including us in your podcast. I think it'll be fun for people to listen to. We're trying all the time to make people more aware of the potato industry. And as the girls mentioned earlier, the incredible food that potatoes really are. They're the fourth largest food crop in the world. You actually produce more calories per acre than any other crop in the world. So people don't know that, and they should really take advantage of eating potatoes.
Well, Jim, Linda, Jessica, I want to thank you for taking time to explain to us what the Colorado Potato Administrative Committee is all about. And now our listeners are going to know what it's all about, and certainly urge them to support what you're doing and come on out to the Potato Festival. It's a whole lot of fun. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
The 117th Annual San Luis Valley Fair takes place from August 5th through the 12th at the Sky High Complex on Sherman Avenue in Monte Vista. The 2019 San Luis Valley Potato Festival is happening September 7th at Chapman Park in Monte Vista. Make your plans now to attend these exciting events. If you're not a part of the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce, give them a call to find out how to become a member, 719-852-2731. Or stop by the chamber, located at 947 First Avenue. And make sure to check back soon for another Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com or any major podcast platform.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote business in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communication among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area.
Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, MontaVistaChamber.org. That's MontaVistaChamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on SLVoices.com.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on SLVoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events. More listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word too by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your family, friends, and neighbors. We all love this area, want to see it flourish, and you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.